Hey, how we doing, sixth grade? Man, you guys look good. Do me a favor before we start. I want you to look at the person next to you, give them a high five and say, you look good, man. You look good, baby. And then you say, hey, I look good. Tell everybody, I look good. Hey, sixth grade, man. So glad to be here today with you guys. You guys are awesome. I love sixth graders. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Pastor Kevin. I am one of the pastors here at 12 Stone. I get the honor and privilege of working with Pastor Stephen and all them. Just so you guys know, Pastor Stephen, it was actually his birthday yesterday. So if you have like his social media, all that stuff, send him a happy birthday, a picture of your nose or whatever you want to send him on social media. He'd be great to have that. And his brother and sister-in-law had a baby. So he went up there to go see the new baby. But he loves you guys, misses you guys, sends his best for you. Like, we've got a short period of time, and we got a lot to dive into. So if you guys want to grab your Bibles, we are going to be camping in 2 Samuel, chapter 11. That's Dos Samuel Once for you Spanish friends of mine. And if you don't have a Bible, de nada, amigo. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead, grab one underneath your chair. Listen, look at me. If you don't have a Bible at your house to study and read, take this with you. Consider it a gift from us at 12 Stone for you to have. We'd love you to have it. Okay, so look with your hands, not your mouth. Let's be quiet, all right? Let's roll. So for the last week, we started this new series called Goliath Must Fall, and it's about, obviously, the first story is about David and Goliath, and we saw that cool video. I watched that. It's like the second time I've seen it today, and like it makes me want to go get a rock and throw it at something, you know? Like the little boy in me still like fighting and all this stuff. But it was about David fighting a giant, right? Like a big guy. And we wanted, as we were like planning and praying through the series, we realized that, man, it's not like any of you are going to go fight a real giant, right? You know, it's not like, hey, how was school today? Hey, there was this big giant trying to kill my people and I had to take him out. That's usually not going to happen. But what does happen, look at me. What does happen is you have giants in your life. And what I mean by that are like events, situations, people that are trying to stop you from what all that God has you to be. And so that's what we're going to camp into this. And so you would have thought with David, you know, just to kind of recap last week, even though we learned that, hey, it wasn't David that did it, it was God who did it. But you would have thought that with David, after killing the giant in front of all his friends, in front of all his community, that would have been, man, he would have been popular, right? Like if a big giant was going to kill everybody at your school and you slayed the giant, you'd probably get a free corn dog and a sundae. And, you know, like people would think you're pretty cool at school. Be like, yeah, man, that's the guy. That's the guy. Bing, bing, selfie. Like that would be like, they would think you were awesome, right? But listen, David, man, he had a lot of troubles through his whole life. From early on till the time that he passed away, his life wasn't always great. And so in the same way that he fought all these giants, we're going to talk about that as well. And because his life was not happy. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this. I played soccer all the way through grade school and high school and even through college. Yes, they paid me to go to school and to kick a ball, okay? How many soccer players? Any soccer players? All the good-looking people raised their hand. Awesome. Okay, so soccer's a great sport. Look at me. It's the most popular sport in the world. Hundreds of millions of people do it. It's not as popular in the U.S. as it is all over the world, but it's a great sport. Anybody watch the World Cup last summer? I mean, yeah, it's great. Awesome, man. You guys are great. Much better in 7th, 8th grade. But when you think about it, what is soccer? It's predominantly running, right? I mean, it's a lot of running. Our coach would dog us. Stay with me. Our coach would dog us, and we would start off with a half-mile run. We'd play for a little bit and then run sprints, suicides. There's this other thing called death by 10 meters, which is like you're just running. And then a lot of times at the end, he'd be like, okay, just go jog a mile, like a light jog to cool down. It was a lot of running. And the position that I played in soccer was I played midfield as I got older, but I played what they called attacking forward, which sounds like you get a sword and get a, that's not what it was. All right. It was just, but it was aggressive. It was the guy who would like run and try to score and always get offsides and all stuff. But it was running. okay? So it got really repetitive. And I knew that if I wanted to get better at soccer, I had to run a lot. So what did I do on my days off? What do you think I did? I'd run. I'd do drills and try to kick a ball like 100 times, you know, just try to dribble and stuff like that. I would blindfold myself and try to kick the ball around to make sure that I was doing it, that I could move and move that ball just like if I had a ball in my hand and I could move it around and not even think I wanted to be that good. But it was repetitive and it got boring. You know what would happen? After a period of time, I'm like, why am I keep running, man? This is boring. And so David, it's the same way in his life. That his life got repetitive and it got predictable and he knew what was going to happen. And then finally he became king and his life was real predictable. And some of you may feel the same way. You're like, hey, if I asked you what happened two Tuesdays ago, I don't know. Like, what's today? All right, today's Wednesday. What happened 2 days ago? Most of you would have to stop or think or look at a calendar. You'd be like, man, my days are pretty boring. Like Tuesday, this is usually, you can relate to this. Yep, my mom woke me up or my brother woke me up. I had to go. I ate, took a shower, cleaned up, went to school, came back, maybe watched some TV, stayed up too late, read something, text something, did all this stuff. And it's the same thing. And you start thinking this is the danger in that, is I know what's going to happen tomorrow. You start thinking, oh, I know what's going to happen next week. There's really nothing exciting. I'm not really dreaming big dreams. I'm not thinking about great things. I'm just kind of stepping back and I kind of know what happens. You know what the scary part about that is, M12? Is this. Once things become predictable, you kind of get comfortable. And you get another word that's called complacent. And it just means like lazy almost. Because you know what's going to happen. You know what the next thing. And this is the story. I'm setting this up. David is king. He's ruler. He's been through a lot of stuff. He can do whatever he wants. He's lord of the kingdom, man. He's got money. He's got power. He's got fame. He's got all this stuff. And guess what? Guess what he got? A little lazy. He thought his life was predictable. He thought things were easy. And he stopped kind of caring. So this is where we drive into it, okay? He's lazy. You got it. Because this is it. This is the, thank you. Here's the point. Here's the first point that I want you to get. David kind of quit fighting and quit caring. And when you quit fighting, you fail. When you quit fighting either about against your own desires or fighting to get better, you fail. If you quit trying, what happens? Okay? So let's look. Look at this. Read with me. This is 2 Samuel 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, I'm going to stop there. There was a time, there was almost wars all the time, similar to where, there's been a war on the planet Earth for almost the existence. Some countries are warring each other. But there were certain times where the king would get all dressed up. Anybody see Lord of the Rings or any of those movies? And they go out and they dress up all the stuff. And the king's nice and shiny and gold. And the king would go out and there'd be thousands of people and all stuff. That's what's happening. And the king would go out there, fight with his troops, tell stories, win battles. You guys are do it. Defend the country. You're awesome. I don't think they use the word awesome. But like, you're great. Go after and get it. And the king would go out. Okay? Just so you know. David sent Joab out. So he sent somebody else to do it. He got lazy. Out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. So he sent everybody. He sent other soldiers to go do something he didn't even want to do. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Did you catch that? Did David go fight? Did he do anything? But he sent everybody else to fight. I mean, imagine if you and I were sitting here and there are like nine ninjas in the lobby and they're going to fight somebody. And I said, hey, why don't you guys go? You'd be like, you're the adult. You're the big guy. Send Scott. Oh, wait. You know, like, it would be like, right? He's the king. He's the leader. Shouldn't the leader go fight the battle? Shouldn't the leader be the one out there? But what happened? David stepped back and he said, I'm going to do nothing. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let everybody else fight my battles. I'm going to let everybody else worry about them. So that's what I want you to go. It's in your notes right there of this. It seems really, really simple, but this is it. If you do nothing, you get, what do you think? Nothing. I mean, you know that. If you walk into school and the teacher gives you, hey, pop quiz, gives you a quiz and you fill it out, what happens if you do nothing? What do you get? A big zero, right? If you're like, man, I want to be better at basketball, but you don't play basketball, how good do you get? You see these people that come and played on the stage, men, these guys have been playing, a lot of them have been playing since they were real young, and they've put hundreds, if not 1,000 hours into playing drums or playing keyboard or singing or doing all of that stuff. But when you do nothing, you get nothing. Now, here's the point. We, all of us, have a tendency to be lazy, right? I mean, most of you, listen, if your mom and dad said, listen, I've got a stacked refrigerator, you get to stay home by yourself, do everything. How many of y'all are going to be like, you know what, I'm going to start reading and I'm going to come up with mathematical problems? No, you're throwing on Netflix or the PS4, you're getting after games, you're doing something. You're going to sit in your pajamas. Now listen, there's adults in this room. Many of us adults, if we had a whole day of nothing to do with no kids and nothing just by ourselves, would probably be to do the same thing. Give me sweatpants and ice cream and I'm in. Yeah. All right? I get that. I get that. So I want to show you a few things, first of all. Okay? Lazy to drink. Now you think, now there's a part. But those, honestly, most of those things aren't really a big deal. But see, what David did and where David was at as king was a real big deal. And see, you don't, here's the danger in it, guys. Look at me. Is when you're lazy, you don't know what's going to be a big deal and what isn't a big deal. Because in the moment, you're thinking, it doesn't really matter. I don't have to get better at school. It doesn't really matter. A C is good enough. It's in the top three, A, B, C. Like, you think, it doesn't matter. But listen, at some point, it will matter. Every action that you do affects things. And so this is as we go on. It says, follow this. This is in verse 2, 2 Samuel. So one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of his palace, okay? King's palace, let me just put it, is basically the penthouse, the top. A lot of times it was built where he could oversee the whole city. He comes out in this balcony, can see the whole city, okay? From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, okay? What are you... He saw a naked woman, naked, okay? Hold on. The woman was very beautiful. Stay with me. And David sent someone to find out about her. He said, who that naked woman? No, he had somebody said. But like, I get it. You see a naked person, like, a few years ago, my wife and I were at Panama City, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're sitting there in Walmart, and a naked baby ran through the hall. Like about 4 or 5 years old. And like, my wife's like, was that a naked baby? You see a naked, did you see a naked baby run? I saw a naked baby running through Walmart. All right? We've all been there outside the fountain. It's the fountain in Mall of Georgia. I've seen, there's a naked baby running off. Like, okay, so look at me. Stay with me. All right? But let me look at this. Shh, shh, shh. Stay with me. Stay with me, guys. Stay with me. Here's the deal. See, David knew that it was wrong to look. David also knew that it was wrong to say, I want to find out more information about it. I want to see who that is. Because look at me, guys. Look at me. Serious moment, real talk here. So for a lot of you, there's things that you're either looking on the internet on, or have questions about, and you know from the beginning it's wrong. And some of you have stopped fighting that and been like, it's okay, my friends look at it. It's, nobody will find out. My parents, I've sneaked around my parents while I was there. I've got like the safety things that they put on the internet, or I'm alone in my room. No one sees it. Listen, here's the issue. At this point, it's only God and it's only David that sees that. And that's dangerous because he stopped fighting himself. Look at me. The biggest enemy that you're going to have in your walk with Jesus is not your friends, not the government, not your teachers or school. It's the person you see when you look in the mirror. It's going to be you. I will tell you this. I've been doing ministry for 20 years. I've been saved for over 25 years. The biggest problem I have is me. And David quit fighting. He quit caring and he's going to fail. He was doing nothing to protect himself. And so nothing protected him. Do you get that? He did nothing to protect himself. So nothing protected him. He didn't have people around him to be like, dude, if you see me about to do something wrong, stop me. Look at me, guys. I have friends. I've had them from middle school and high school and on that I've given express permission to see if I'm doing something that you know is against what God has best for me, you need to stop me. And I have through, I've done it to friends of mine and had them do it to me and be like, Monahan, you're not going to do that. Kevin, you're not going to do that. He had nobody. And so what happened? He's lazy. He stopped fighting. And so he thought, well, what's going to happen? Where are we going to go? Because he brought her and David's messengers to get her. And she came to him, came to his bedroom, and he slept with her. He had sex with her. That's what happened. Okay, stop. Hey, stop. All right. Listen, okay? So let's look what happened. The next one is this. David didn't know what to expect. And so the next verse, it says in 11:5, it says, the woman conceived and sent word to David that I'm pregnant. So with David, listen, David compromised his integrity just for a few minutes and thought, I want what I want. I don't care what anybody else wants. I'm going to have this. No one even cares. Her husband, listen, it says that her husband was off at war. David's the king, sent her husband off to war. And while he's at war, says, I'm going to take your wife. I'm going to take what's mine. I'm going to take whatever I want because I'm the king and I don't care. I'm not fighting against anybody else. I'm going to do whatever I want. And listen, if you think, oh my gosh, David's a bad guy, that's you and me at times. There's things that we give up and we say, I just want it. I know, listen, I don't know 90% of you in here, but guess what? You know what I do know about is given the opportunity that most of you, most of us, all of us at some point in our life will do what is best for me. You start thinking, I want it. I don't care about anybody else. This is the second thing I want you to know is what you do affects others. Your actions affect other people. What happens? There's problems. You sit there and think, well, what does it matter? What does it matter if I get a C? Or what matter if I'm lazy? What does it matter if I don't do well in school? What does it matter? Listen, that affects your parents. Some of you guys are going to get straight A's and you're going to get paid $10,000, $15,000, $30,000, $40,000, probably $50,000 by the time you get to college to go to school. Some of you are going to get below average grades and not care, and you're not going to have an opportunity because no one has money to pay for it. Some of you are going to sit there, listen, and ask any adult in here that's had a job, one of the worst people you can work with is someone who doesn't care and is someone who is lazy and says, it doesn't matter. Well, I don't care. The boss man's not looking. Nobody wants to work with that. I don't want to be on a team with that. It affects other people. It does. So what you're doing has problems and affects other people. So he goes on and he's in real trouble. But it all goes back to that first verse where David did nothing. See, it's the same thing for us as well, man. God invites us, as we close this, guys, listen. God invites us to a personal relationship with him every single day. You have the opportunity to open up God's word and read it. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, I said this at the beginning, but if you don't have one, take one of these red Bibles. We'd love for you. If you're like, where do I start? Start in the book of John. It's the easiest. Stay away from anything that says Leviticus, okay? Like, it is not the easiest one to start, or Chronicles, okay? Unless you can't sleep at night, don't read those, okay? Start with the book of John. It's easy, just go. But listen, what happens? We don't fight for let me give you a real example. Look at me, real talk. So many of us at the beginning of the school year say, I'm gonna get A's, all A's. First day comes, wait, stay with me. The first day comes, you try, you don't get a lot of homework. Second day, you get a little bit. You have to fight every day for that. I have to fight every day for that. Look at me. In Romans, Paul, the guy who wrote the majority of the New Testament, who was a brilliant scholar, a great speaker, who won millions of people to Christ. Paul says this. He says this in Romans 7, beginning in verse 14. He says this. He says, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Who can save me from this wretched body of death? He knows he's lazy. He sits there and says, every day I've got to fight for what I know is right. And you say, Pastor Kevin, do you, as an older pastor, do you have to fight against lust? Yes. Do I have to fight against pride? Yes. Do I have to fight against temperament? Yes. Do I have to fight against wanting to be popular and want to be liked? Yes. Does it get easier? In some ways. And in some ways it doesn't. And I just some ways get better at it. I've protected myself and through all of that. And we want the same way to do. So you sit there and you say, well, how do we do this? How do I? I'm going to give you two things. All right? Look at me. If you guys get nothing else, this is what I want you to get tonight. You have to keep fighting. Fight again. And there's two ways to do this. The first one is this. I want you to dream. Now, I don't mean like dream about unicorns and puppies and stuff like that. And like, but I do, look at me. I want you, here's the problem that happens. And this can happen. I don't like to generalize your generation, but it can happen so much. Look at me. When's the last time you've either asked God or thought about, God, what do you have for me? See, some of you, you've been walking with God and love God, and God said, you know what? Someday I want you to be a musician, or someday I want you to be a pastor, or someday I want you to be a doctor, or someday I want you to be a school teacher. All of those are awesome. Lean into that. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to have? Look, at one of the things I love seeing Roni and Purdue. I call everybody by their last name, but these two girls leading worship and Anestes up here leading. Listen, look at me. Because you know what? Not are they just super talented and love Jesus and have a cornucopia of talent. Listen, this is the issue. For some of you young girls who sit there and think, well, man, I just see a lot of pastors and they're all male and they're all this stuff like that. I'll never be able to. They're strong, powerful women that love Jesus and are using that. I want you to be able to see that. I want you to have a dream. One of the greatest things I love working at 12 Stone, is hearing our senior pastor talking about as a young man that God gave him visions and directed him to go plant a church. And for the first 8 to 10 years, no, very few people came and nothing happened. And a few years ago, we had like 13, 14,000 people. And he thought that was a dream and a vision that God gave him years before. And he thought that was the end, but God had revealed to him a new one to say, that's just the beginning. I believe that there are one of you that could, one or two or three of you that can be world changers. But you got to have that dream. And some of you are sitting there like, I don't dream. I ain't got enough. And you're going to be average because that's what you try. I love you. And you may be great in some things, but there's not a passion about you. Listen, David killed men, slept with other men's adultery, all of that stuff, did all this stuff. But you know what God says at the end of his life? That David was a man after God's own heart. And some of you think, well, man, maybe there's stuff I've done bad, or maybe I'm far away from Jesus and I don't have it. It's never too late, man. Because no matter what you've done, you didn't do what David did just in this chapter. You never murdered somebody's husband because you want his wife for a night. Okay? Dream. What's your dream? So I want you on your card, some of you to write this. I just want you to write what a dream is. What's that vision, that passion that God has for you? And I know in the size of this room, there's about 8 or 10 of you that have that. But listen, look at me. Some of you don't have it because you've never asked. And you just want to coast by. And you're going to go. And this year is going to be just like last year. You're just going through the routine. Everything becomes repetitive. Everything becomes normal. Adults, it's the same thing for you, man. We're satisfied with mediocrity. We're satisfied with things being repetitive. I know that God has bigger plans than I can dream of. Because you know what? If I can dream of them and I can just think of them, I don't need God. I want something bigger and badder and awesome than what I can just think of. I want something that powerful, that points everything to the cross of Christ ultimately. So what's that dream? Write something down there. What's that dream for you? What are you going after? But that's the dream part, which is great. You have to have that positive attitude that Christ is with me. God is with me, who can go against me. But the other part is this, the drill side of it. What are you doing to get after that dream? What are the actions? You have a great attitude, but what are those actions? What are you doing? I want you to write something else of saying this. You know what? Maybe for the next 7 days, this is something that I want to get better at. Because listen, here, all of us, if you put, I just want to be famous, well, great. You can become famous for just about anything today. You know what I'm saying? You can marry a Shetland pony and be like, I'm famous for 2 minutes on Facebook. All right? That's not what I mean. But what are you going to do after this? Look at me. Some of you want to be great musicians and you haven't even talked to Savannah or somebody else on this team about being a musician. Not a magician. We don't do that. Boom. I get it. What are your dreams? Listen, my daughter, we talk about this in my house. And one of my dreams, my daughter yesterday came up and said, I want to sing on a stage before I'm 10. She also wants to ride a unicorn. That's not going to happen. But like, what? She's 6. Give her some grace, okay? And she's a Monahan. Okay, so like all of those kind of things, all right? What are your dreams? But what are you doing to achieve those dreams? Because listen, look at me. Us as 12 Stone and student ministry and Pastor Stephen and all of your small group leaders would love nothing more to see you become a world changer with the power of Christ behind you. We'd love to do that. If you don't know where to begin, come find one of us. Talk to us. Like, I feel like God's calling me to plant a church one day. I talked to a kid the other day. He's like 13. He feels like God's called me to plant a church one day in a foreign country. He's like, I don't even know if I can name three countries besides Canada and Mexico. Like, but listen, I love that. Because listen, David was a runt in the middle of the woods that everybody neglected, and he became a king that, listen to me, his line, look at me, he became the great grandfather of Jesus that changed everybody. So somebody believe him. Listen, look at me, guys. We believe in you. We love you. We are for you. We are champions for you as sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, all the way through high school who love Jesus. We're on your side. We love you. We desire what God has for you, and we want to do everything we can to make that happen. We love you guys. Thanks for being here tonight. Let me pray for you, and then we'll go. Father God, I just thank you that you are never done with us, that you never forgive us. And God, you tell us in Acts that at some point that young men and women will dream dreams. And God, I know that it's for the select. And this is one of those messages, Father, that's just going to hit a handful of kids. But God, I pray that there is a student in here that you are starting to call to be a world changer, whether it's through medicine or engineering or church planting or whatever it is, God, which right now starts as just a rumbling in their spirit. But I pray, God, that you would change them. And I pray that we as 12 Stone will come alongside them to encourage them, lift them up, equip them to take the gospel to a dying world, Father. And I know life and death are on the line. I pray, Father, that if there are some in there tonight that need to know Jesus, that love Jesus and want to have a desire, a personal relationship with him, that you would open that opportunity with a small group leader or a pastor. Father, we love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen.